listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is December 11th. It is time to study God's Word together. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, Pastor David Smith from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri, our KFUO Church of the Week. Pastor Smith, welcome to His Time.
Thank you.
It's good to have a chance to study God's Word with you this morning. Tell us about, give us an update. What are things what's going on at St. Paul's in De Pere, Missouri today?
Well, one of the important things is this weekend, every year, we have a festival of sacred music for the time of Christmas. And we will have two opportunities for people to attend. First of all, Saturday night at 5 p.m., and then Sunday at 4 p.m., with all our choirs, all our handbell choirs. Pre-service music starts 20 minutes before the service. So all are invited, and we look forward to providing this as our Christmas gift to the community.
Well, thanks be to God. So Saturday at 5 p.m., is that right?
Yes.
And Sunday at 4 with pre-service music beginning about 20 minutes before handbells, which are just beautiful, especially this time of year.
They are.
Well, we are studying 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text in 1 John chapter 5?
Well, this is a very important recap of what John has written in the first four chapters, and he kind of ties it all together in chapter 5 as he writes his closing words here.
All right. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. We're studying with Pastor David Smith from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri. If you have a question or a comment along the way, give us a call or an email. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? All right. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him.
That is a statement of unity of Christians, that we have all a common denominator. And that is, we all believe in Jesus Christ. God has worked this in us, given us this gift, and now we show that faith in our Lord Jesus Christ as we love all those around us. But specifically here, he's talking about loving those within this Christian community, loving one another, everyone who has been born of God.
By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments.
Yes, and his commandments, if you'll remember, Jesus commented, spoke about that, and said the fulfillment of the commandments is to love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. So the loving of one another goes right along with the commandments, keeping the commandments.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
That's right. They're not burdensome because we don't keep them trying to save ourselves. We don't keep them under coercion or force. We simply now, since we believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit is working in us, and it is a privilege. It is a act of thanksgiving to God for all he has done for us to follow his commandments. So it's no longer with a hammer hanging over our head, but it is out of thanksgiving to God for his love for us.
For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Yes. You know, so many times in this world we have burdens, we have cares, we have difficulties that weigh us down, and we certainly don't feel like we're victors, we're conquerors. But it doesn't depend on how we feel. It depends on our faith. We haven't overcome the world. It's that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who overcame the world on the cross of Calvary. So our faith in him gives us the victory over this world.
Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Nobody else can. Only with faith in Christ can we overcome all that we suffer in this world. And we will. God has promised we will. Yes, there's going to be suffering before the glory. But we will overcome, come what may.
Anything else up through verse 5, Pastor, before we go on to the next section?
Well, it's just kind of that's kind of a summary. You know, John has talked a lot about love in this letter. Now, these first five verses are kind of a summary of everything that John has been talking about in very succinct form. And it's all centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes this happen. And so this is a great summary statement of the whole book.
All right, let's take a look at the next paragraph. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, and because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by the water, not by water only, but by the water and the blood.
Right. Now, this is very important, because one of the things that John seems to be writing about in his letter is that there was a heresy at his time, probably the man's name was Cerinthus. And it was the Cerinthian heresy. What that heresy taught was that Jesus was just a special man, and that at his baptism, the Christ from heaven descended upon him and remained with him until just before the Passion and left him and went back to heaven. Therefore, he was not present in Christ, in Jesus, when he suffered on the cross. It came out of Gnosticism, in thinking that there's just no way God can be flesh and blood, because flesh and blood is where the evil is. Now, John seems to be refuting that heresy right here, in saying he was not only the Christ in the water, but also in the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary, that this was Jesus Christ, true God, true man, throughout his ministry, including during the Passion.
And so the Spirit is the one who testifies because the Spirit is truth. So there's water, blood, and the Spirit, and the Spirit is the one who testifies.
That's right. So the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth. Now, where is that truth? Well, that truth is in the fact that in water we have baptism, and that is a testimony that we are born of God through water and the Spirit, and also through the blood that was shed for us on Calvary. So so the Spirit testifies to this through the water and the blood in baptism and through the blood of Christ.
And these three testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. It's significant that they agree, is it not?
It is very significant that the truth is attested to by more than one. You know, it always says everything is proved out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, by John saying that it's the three of them, he's saying that there is unity, and this is truth.
If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son.
Right. We don't believe man-made doctrines. We believe the testimony of God, and it's referring back that the testimony of the Spirit and the water and the blood is the testimony of God concerning Jesus Christ, and that is what we need to hold to and cling to.
Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son.
That's a very tough concept, but basically what it says, if you refuse to believe what God is telling us, then you're calling God a liar. Now, that's a harsh judgment, but that is the truth. Refusing to believe God is saying you're not telling us the truth, and that is calling God a liar. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as God has testified to us that we should, then we are affirming that God is telling us the truth.
And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
That's correct. That's the pure gospel right there, that he's saying that through faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. If we reject this testimony, the Son that God has given us, then we do not have life. There is only one way to have eternal life. No one comes to the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus Christ.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor David Smith from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri, our KFUO Church of the Week. We're in 1 John chapter 5. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 in St. Louis. Toll free in North America, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study in 1 John chapter 5. You're listening to His Time.
Reverend Dr. Robert Kolb, professor at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, will preach at the annual German Advent Christmas Vespers at Peace Lutheran Church, 737 Barracks View Road in St. Louis, Sunday, December 13th at 2:30 p.m. The Ladies' Choir of the German Cultural Society of St. Louis and the Peace Lutheran Junior Choir presents traditional hymns and carols. Enjoy the liturgy auf Deutsch with English helps provided. Refreshments will follow the German Vesper service at Peace Lutheran Church. Information online at peacelutheranstl.org.
There's a lot of talk about secondhand smoke. We thought we'd ask a local expert. Kenny, how old are you?
7 years old.
Do your mommy and daddy breathe secondhand smoke at work?
Yep.
Where does secondhand smoke hurt?
Breathing it hurts our heart, lungs, brain. It just hurts everywhere.
If a 7-year-old knows secondhand smoke is bad for your health, then you should too. Everyone has the right to breathe smoke-free air.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is December 11th. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor David Smith from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, De Pere, Missouri, our KFUO Church of the Week. We are in 1 John chapter 5 today. If you have a question or a comment, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, Pastor Smith, before we go on to the next section of verses 13 and following. Anything else up through verse 12?
You see that here John is really, really making it clear of just how cut and dried he considers this. That we're presented with the Word of God, and to refuse it, to refuse the gracious offer that our God has made us, that in spite of our sin, in spite of death, He is still willing to send us a Savior. And everything testifies to that. And we need to look to Christ and see that He is the most precious gift God can give us.
All right, let's take a look at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. So I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
He is here just giving us lots of assurance. If you're a believer, you're going to have eternal life. And you can be confident of that, and you can be sure of that. That's what he says in the next verse. Now, this confidence, then, produces another privilege, and that's talked about in verse 14.
And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
We now have the privilege of prayer. We didn't have that privilege before the Lord Jesus Christ opened the door of the throne room of grace to us, but now we do. And so we can pray, and we can pray to the Lord, and He hears and answers. Now it says according to His will, and that's important. The will of God is best for us always. Now, the will of God doesn't mean that He wants us to have what we want or what we desire most for the moment. The will of God is based on what is for our eternal good. What is for our eternal good? And that's the way God answers prayers. So if it's not best for our eternal good, He doesn't give it to us. He doesn't want anything to get in the way of our spiritual lives, of our faith, and of our being with Him in heaven. So He's not going to give us things that might interfere with that.
And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him.
And if you pray in accord with God's will, He will give you your request. Now, there's another aspect to this that isn't mentioned here. We don't always know the will of God, but the Holy Spirit does. And we're told in Romans that the Spirit also prays for us in accord with the will of God. So even though our prayers may not be the perfect words or the right words, the Holy Spirit is praying for us for our best, according to the will of God.
Verse 16, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life to those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. What is this talk of sin that leads to death and sin that does not lead to death?
Well, the only sin that leads to death is the sin against the Holy Spirit. This is a stubborn refusal to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And it's persistent. It's a total rejection of God and His plan of salvation. Jesus mentions it. This passage is emphasizing for us that as a Christian community, when we see others caught up in sin, we need to pray for them and help them and exhort them and encourage them to avoid this. Now, certainly we have the forgiveness of sins, but if we persist in sin, well, in particular sins, we may need others to encourage us and help us and support us as we try to get out of that. We need to see that. If we see that in other people, we need to be their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and speak to them and pray for them. When it comes to the sin against the Holy Spirit, frankly, those people are not in church anyway. They wouldn't darken the door of a church. So we can certainly pray for the nations, for all people, that they would come to faith in Christ. But we just have to realize there are those that have rejected God and the Savior for good. They won't listen. They don't want to be a part of it. And so John is directing us to pray for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that we do not get entangled in sin.
Anything else on verses 16 and 17 before we go on to 18?
Well, that last verse, all wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. That goes back to chapter 1. Now, in chapter 1, this we say many times in church. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what's being referred to there, because we have forgiveness of sins, and therefore they do not lead to death. Therefore, by confession and faith, we are forgiven, and death cannot touch us.
All right, let's take a look at verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him.
This has a lot to do with the verse we just read from 1 John 1. We know that everyone has been born of God does not keep on sinning, and yet we know we do. We do keep on sinning, and what's being drawn here is that Lutheran statement that we are both saint and sinner. Indeed, we do sin, but God is protecting us. He is protecting that faith that is within us, that saint that He has worked in us, and He is protecting that from the evil of the world. So, we do sin. Our sins are forgiven. But God is working to make sure that we remain the saints that we are, that He created in us through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ.
We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
That, too, is difficult for some people. Basically, you're a member of the kingdom of God, or you're a member of the kingdom of Satan. It's one or the other. What defines you is faith in Jesus Christ. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are transferred from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. There's no third alternative. There's no third stage where you're almost there or working your way there. You are a member of one or the other. And that's what this passage is saying, that we are from God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. But the world, the rest of the world that does not believe, is under the power of the evil one.
We know, verse 19, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know, verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols.
This is kind of the summary statement of the whole book. The Son of God has come. He is the one that gives us understanding of, first of all, our own spiritual condition, that is, our sinful condition, and our desperate need of a Savior. He is the one who tells us the truth, and in this truth is the Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, and who can rescue us from the sin and the death of this world. He is the one that overcame the world. He is the one that overcame sin and death. He is the one that is blessed by God, and now we are blessed by God through him. What it's directing us to in these final words is to make sure we continue to cling to the Son, that we don't give up and think that the world is conquering. And, you know, that's very important today. Things are not going well. And it's easy for us to get discouraged and frustrated that somehow God's lost control, when that's not the way it is at all. He has overcome the world, and he is still in control of the world. He is encouraging us to understand that these things must happen, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all the rest. They have to happen. We are reminded of Jesus' words about those things. But understand, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the truth. He has overcome the world. And he is for you, to give you eternal life. Then it says, at the very end, a very abrupt ending, little children, avoid idols. Because any of those things out there in the world that become your idol can take you away from this Jesus Christ, who is the most important thing in your life.
Yeah, little children, keep yourselves from idols. This phrase, little children, the way that he addresses the reader here throughout this letter, we see this several times. Little children, there's this parent-child kind of relationship in a sense. He's
right.
Our father, a spiritual father.
A spiritual father. And he is addressing us as children of God. That phrase is used numerous times in the book. And he's calling us little children because he wants to be our spiritual father. John is trying to do so as he writes this. He doesn't want us to fall away. No matter what the temptation, to lose our faith in Jesus Christ. So don't let these things into your life.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text in 1 John chapter 5?
Well, it's very, as I said to begin with, John is summarizing, and he wants the people to be confident in their faith. He wants them to be confident. And so he's trying to encourage them as much as he can to cling to the faith in spite of the things of this world, and to be confident in that faith, in their prayer life, in helping other Christians remain in the faith, doing all they can as the people of God. And that has application for us, because that's certainly what we need to be about as people of God this day, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to confidently profess our faith that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ, to seek to live in keeping his commandments that are not burdensome, but are now a joyful privilege in thanksgiving to God. So it's just a wonderful summary of the Christian life all in one chapter.
Thanks be to God for his word and the good news that we have in it. Thanks for helping us study this text today, Pastor Smith.
I am glad to do it.
Now, the special service is coming up at St. Paul's this weekend, the service of evening prayer with the sacred music for the time of Christmas. That's coming up Saturday, December 12th at 5 p.m., right?
That's correct, and Sunday at 4 p.m. With special music 20 minutes before each service.
For you, what is the highlight out of these services? What do you love most about
the special music services? A pastor, there's a lot of work during Advent and Christmas, and frankly, even though I help lead one of these services, this is my Christmas. The Word of God and the special music is just marvelous.
Absolutely. You all have great music there at St. Paul's in De Pere.
We do.
Well, thanks be to God for those who will be serving as well, the many musicians and all those who will be preparing for those services. I know a lot of work goes into it, but it's all great.
We thank God for Mark Bender and for Melissa Cobslash and their work to make this possible.
Sure, absolutely. They are very talented individuals, along with all the musicians who will be presenting
right.
Music this weekend as well. Well, God's blessings on the services there. For more information, the phone number 314-822-0447 or the website St. Paul's De Pere, Missouri, located not too far from the intersection of 270 and Manchester Road, right there by the West County Shopping Center.
Yeah.
Well, God's blessings, Pastor Smith, on this weekend and all the special services.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for over 90 years.